Please remain standing as we now turn to hear from God's Word. This morning we read together from Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 16, and reading through verse 21. And the message this morning will focus on the first three verses, 16 through 18, but we'll read through 21. Brothers and sisters, these are the words of Christ. Please listen accordingly. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has, that he has, will be taken away. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." Thus far God's word. Please be seated. Shall we pray? Lord, we ask that you would bless us as we've heard these words of Christ. We pray that you would open our hearts to them, that we might be able to meditate on them and truly see the light of Jesus as he shines his word upon our hearts. In his name we pray, amen. Have you ever been afraid of the dark? Have you ever been in a place that was so dark that you wanted to leave? You weren't sure what was there? Maybe like me as a child, I remember coming home in the evening after being out, and it had become dark and the lights in the house were out. And going into the house, everything was dark. Couldn't see around the corner. You couldn't see what was in the hall as you went down the hall to your room. You couldn't see what was in your room. As a child, this was very terrifying to me, because who knows what might be lurking around the corner. The darkness is terrifying to us because we don't know what's there. You can't see what's in the room or what is around the corner. Well, what fixes that problem? Well, as you go into the house, you turn the lights on. And as you go through the house and you flip the light switches, the light shines into the hallway. And as you go down the hallway, it shines into your bedroom. And all of a sudden you see that because of the light, there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing lurking in the corners. Well, what is it that takes away the darkness and the fear that comes with it? It's the light. And the light has to be turned on or lit in order for that darkness to go away. Well, that's exactly the kind of idea that Jesus is presenting in the passage this morning. Jesus is telling the disciples that he has shone the light of his word upon the world. And we'll look at how Jesus shines the light of the world, light of the word into the world under 3 points. First, as he lights the lamp, or as we look at the lamplight. Secondly, as he describes how the word is revealed. And thirdly, as he talks about how it is that we are to hear his word. So the lamplight. How is it that that lamp gets lit? And what is that light that Jesus is talking about in verse 6? These three verses here, the one about lighting the lamp, the one about secrets being revealed, and this one about listening, come at first glance in this narrative of Luke somewhat abruptly. He's been talking about the seed and sowing seed, and then all of a sudden he shifts gears and he starts talking about a lamp and light coming from a lamp. And then again, almost as abruptly, he changes to the idea from a lamp and light to the idea of a secret being revealed, something hidden coming into the open. And then again, he changes back to the idea of someone having something and getting more, of something being not having and having more taken away. What's going on here? What are the different things that Jesus is talking about? Well, as we go through this, we'll see that they're all actually very closely related. This lamplight metaphor that Jesus describes, almost a little mini parable, as it were, is really a continuation of the previous discussion. We looked last week at the parable of the sower as he sows the seed. We talked about how this was a picture of Jesus going around and preaching the Word of God. Well, Jesus hasn't actually changed topics. He's still on the same subject. And this metaphor of the lamp that gets lit, that sheds light into the darkness, this is a continuation of his telling us more about his ministry of preaching. So he tells us about this lamp. He says that if you light a lamp, the point of lighting the lamp is so that the light would come out of the lamp and shine into a dark area, allowing you to see. And he says, why in the world, after having lit a lamp then, would you cover it up? Now, the image he uses comes from the kind of lamp that they used then. It was probably an oil lamp. You could think today of maybe like a candle. It's something that we light with a match. It has a wick and a flame. And if you were to take a pot or a vessel and cover up that lamp, the lamp is going to go out. So it's not just going to cover it, the flame will actually be extinguished, right? Same thing with a candle. You have the candle snuffer, it snuffs out the flame of the candle. Well, Jesus says, you wouldn't ever do that. It doesn't make any sense. It's contrary to the purpose of lighting the lamp. Likewise, he says, you don't hide it under a bed or a couch. You don't light the lamp that's supposed to light the entire room and then stick it under a bed or a couch where its light is shaded or covered by the couch. Well, you say, that's really easy. I didn't need you to explain that to me. Well, that's good. But now tell me, what is the light? This is the key to understanding what he's talking about here. What does the light represent? We understand lamps and lights, and that's why Jesus uses this image. What does the light represent? And who, furthermore, is the person who lights the lamp? And what is this lamp? Well, we've already mentioned, reminded ourselves of the parable of the sower. Now, in the parable of the sower, it was Jesus who was the one doing the sowing. He was the one active in that parable. Well, here in this image, as we said, Jesus is continuing the same discussion. He's talking about his work. So Jesus, then, is the one doing the work here. He's the one who comes and lights that lamp. He is the lamplighter. He is the one who brings that light into the dark room. He's talking about his own work. You see, Jesus lights the lamp through his coming and also through his preaching of the Word of God, because that is what he came to do. There's another gospel writer that reflects on this idea. In John chapter 8, Jesus says, he spoke saying, I am the light of the world. He said again in John chapter 12, he says, I have come, he's coming, right? I have come as light into the world. We see very clearly then that Jesus is the one who comes and brings the light. He comes and he turns that lamp on, or lights that lamp. Well then, what is the light? Jesus, the one who has come and brought the light? If he is the light, in a sense, by bringing the light, what is the light that's shining away from the lamp? Well, again, the clue is our context. The clue to figuring out this out is by looking at what he's been talking about. In the previous parable, Jesus had explained that his preaching was the Word of God. That seed that he had been sowing was the Word of God. So that's what he's talking about here still, is his work as the one who preaches the Word of God. Jesus is describing his work of preaching, and he's expanding this explanation by using this metaphor of the light and the lamp. So what we have here then is the light of Jesus that is shining from his lamp. This light is the Word of God. Jesus shines this light of the Word of God into the hearts of men. It is the Word of God then that pierces through the darkness and makes things visible. Okay, we know who the lamplighter is. We know what the light is. What's the darkness? What is it that the light is illuminating? Why do we need the light? And what is the darkness that people might be in? You might even ask the question, am I in darkness? Well, tell me, if you don't know God yet, and perhaps you don't yet know the Bible or haven't yet accepted the Bible, tell me if you can answer these questions. And we'll see if you're in darkness or in light. Tell me, can you tell me where you came from? Do you know why you're here? Why were you born? Can you answer that question? If you don't know God and you don't know his word, you can't, can you? You're in darkness as to your own origins and your own purpose for being here. Can you tell me where the world came from? Science claims to have explanations. They talk about big bangs and so forth. But where did the big bang come from? Who made that stuff? Even if we grant for a moment that that's where things came from, where did that big bang come from? The scientists don't have an answer to that. And neither do you. You're in the dark as to where the world came from. Okay. How about this? Can you tell me where you're going to go when you die? You can't. Can you? Not without the Word of God. You're in darkness. But there's worse darkness than just simply not having good answers to these questions. It's not just what you don't know that's your darkness. It's who you are and what you are without Jesus. That's the real darkness that you have to come to grips with. The darkness that you are in is the darkness of your life. You see, you are living without Jesus, without God, you are living a life that's filled with sin and selfishness and hurt. It's the darkness that's inside your heart that's your real problem. It's the lies that you tell, the hurt that you cause others, the hurt that others cause you. This is your darkness. And most importantly, you're in darkness if you don't know Jesus. You're in darkness because you're not loving him, and you're not worshiping him, and you're not serving him as you ought. That's your darkness. You see, Jesus is the light, and if you don't know him, then you're in darkness. And furthermore, this darkness is all around you. You live in a world filled with other people who are stuck in the same kind of darkness. A darkness of spirit, of heart, and of sin. You're surrounded by people who can't help you. They can't shed light on you because they're just as dark as you are. And this is why the world is filled with so much sin and hurt and misery. It's because of the darkness of sin in everyone's hearts. That great, great shadow that covers everyone. Well, if Jesus' light hasn't yet pierced through the darkness of your heart and brought you to the light, his light, then you've come to the right place. The place where he shines his light. You can think of Jesus like a search and rescue team member. He takes the light of his word and he shines it into the darkness of the storm, searching for lost souls, looking to save you. He says to you, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus says, I've lit the lamp, and I'm here to show you the way. Come and follow me. But what does this light reveal? We'll look secondly at the word that Jesus reveals through his light. In this second verse, Jesus again seems to be changing topics. Changed from seed and sowers to light and lamps. Now he changes to things that are hidden that become revealed, to secrets that come out into the open. But he's still talking about the Word of God and about preaching the Word of God. Jesus says that nothing is hidden. There's no secret that won't come out into the open. He says it very emphatically, two times as a matter of fact. Well, what is it that's hidden? Well, again, he's still dealing with the Word of God. It is the Word of God that is hidden, that must become revealed, that is hidden, that must come out into the open. Well, how is the Word of God hidden? Well, where does the Word of God come from? Where do my words come from? They come from me, right? When I speak them, they come out of me. Where does God's word come from? Well, where is God? God is in heaven. He's from heaven. That's where he dwells. That's where he lives eternally. He's always been in heaven. And that's where his word comes from. See, his word was hidden with him in heaven. And he uncovers that word, that secret word, by speaking it into history, into our world. This is the first way in which the secret that was hidden is revealed, is when God speaks his word into history. This is the second way in which it was hidden, because for many, many years, God was speaking his word. But to whom did he speak it to? Before Jesus came to earth, God only spoke to the Israelites. His word came primarily and only to the descendants of Abraham. To everyone else, God's word was hidden. It was still a secret that they had not yet heard. But when Jesus came to earth, he came to reveal the word of God fully and completely. And he came to bring it not just to the Jews, but to all the nations. That's to us and to our ancestors. They had been left in silence and in darkness. But now Jesus is revealing that secret word of God to the world. Jesus is the Son of God. That means he came from heaven. And he brought with him God's word. He came to bring God's word both to Jews and to the rest of the world. And he came to reveal what was hidden, what was a secret. This is the point he's making. So this is what he's saying. Nothing that is hidden that will not come out into the open. We kind of get this, don't we? If you ever tell someone a secret, eventually, at some point, usually that secret gets out, doesn't it? Somebody once said, you can keep a secret safe if you tell it to three people and two of them are dead. Or something like that, right? As soon as you tell a secret to somebody, your chances of it coming out and becoming known go up exponentially. We can relate to this, can't we? But there's another aspect to this. It's like a surprise. Sometimes you keep things hidden or you keep things secret so that you can bring them out into the open later. You hide it so that you can later show it to someone, like a surprise birthday party or something of that nature. Jesus has come to reveal this secret, surprising, hidden message of God's Word. And His Word reveals many secrets to us, many things that we need to know. You wonder where the world came from? Jesus says, I made it. Do you wonder why you're here? Why you were born? Jesus says, I made you so that you could know me and I could know you. Jesus says, I made you so that you could love me and I could love you. Wonderful, isn't it? Jesus shines the light of His Word into our hearts, and He answers these and many, many other questions. He takes the light of His Word and reveals other things as well. As He shines His light inside your heart, you'll learn more and more about the darkness of your own heart. And you'll start to see things that you didn't see before. As you read Jesus' Word, we learn about how pure and holy God is, and how much our sin has offended Him. His Word shines light on how awful our sin is, and on how much we are in the darkness. Jesus' search lamp pierces through that darkness of the heart, though. He pierces through it, and with His Word, He reveals the way out of that darkness and into the light. Jesus reveals when He came, He revealed that He had come to take away our sins, to take away what is in us that offends God. He has revealed the way for you to have freedom from the darkness, to follow Him into His wonderful light. He's revealed what was concealed, the way of salvation. But how do we come into this light? How do we get access to the secrets that Jesus has uncovered? We do this by hearing His Word. And that's our final point this morning. Verse 18, Jesus says, take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. Take care how you listen. Listen to what? And this is the key to this verse. Listen to the Word of God that Jesus has brought. That's what He's still talking about. So in the first place, then, you have to hear the Word. If you want to know the light of Jesus, you want to have that shine in your heart, you have to hear the Word of God. See how you listen, He says. This is a command. Pay attention to how you're listening. You have to listen to the Word of God. How do you do that? Well, you're doing it already. You've come to church. What do we do at church? But read and preach the Word of God. But you can go home and read the Bible there. You have other opportunities. You can go to Bible studies, prayer meetings, and so forth. All kinds of places where you can go and hear the Word of God. And your children need to hear this as well. Read God's Word to them from the time they're very little. You don't have to wait. As soon as they're born, you can start reading to them. Eventually, they'll start getting it. Get them involved in Sunday school and other opportunities where they can hear God's Word. This is the first part of this verse. We have to listen and pay attention carefully to hear the Word. But then Jesus says something rather shocking, perhaps even harsh. He says, whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. Sometimes we hear something similar to this, similar in concept, it's not the same idea. We hear people say, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Is that what Jesus is talking about here? If you have, you'll get more, but if you don't have, even what you have will be taken away. That sounds really harsh. Is Jesus saying that's a good thing? Well, He's obviously not talking about earthly possessions here. He's not talking about people getting richer or poorer. But it still sounds very harsh. If you don't have God's word, even what you do have will be taken away. Really, Jesus, that doesn't sound very nice. Well, let's think about what he's saying. The person who thinks he has, who doesn't have, but who seems to have, he thinks he has. Who is this person? Well, this is the person who's listened to the word of God. You know how sometimes we listen to things, but we don't understand them, or we listen to things and we don't do them? For example, you go to the dentist, and what does he tell you? Brush your teeth. Well, you heard him, but when you go home, do you do what he says? Do you brush your teeth? Well, some people don't, and then they have to come back very quickly with another cavity and another cavity, right? Because they've heard what he said, but they're not listening and following and doing and paying attention to what the dentist has said. You can listen without hearing and understanding and accepting and believing and obeying. This is the person who has heard the word of God, but he's not putting it into practice. He doesn't do what Jesus says in verse 15. This is the section before what we read. Jesus is talking about the seed that he sowed on good soil. And he says, these are the ones who have heard the word of God in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. This person who thinks he has, but is going to have it taken away, this is the person who isn't bearing fruit. The person who heard and says, yeah, I heard it, I got it, I understood it, okay, that's enough. I don't need the word anymore. I don't need to keep coming back and listening. I don't need to keep coming back and hearing the word. Well, there's a problem. Go back to the beginning. Back to what Jesus said in verse 16. Remember the problem. You're in darkness. Once you've turned that light on in a dark room and say you want to read a book or you want to do some task, you don't turn the light back off, do you? If you do it, you won't be able to read your book. You won't be able to do things. You'll be plunged right back into darkness. That's your problem. If you hear the word of God, but you don't keep coming back and listening to it, you don't come back and pay attention and follow it and do what it says, you're just like the person who goes into the room, lights the lamp, and then covers it right back up again. You said, I saw the light, that's good enough, I don't need it anymore. It doesn't work that way. You have to keep using the light. You have to keep following the light. You have to keep your eyes on the light, which is the word of God. If you stop paying attention to God's word, if you stop coming to church, if you stop seeking the light of the word of Jesus in your life, then Jesus says this, what you do have will be taken away. It's a warning. It may sound harsh, but it's a warning because he cares about your soul. He wants you to be in the light. Well, Jesus talks about two people here. There's a second person. The one who has, Jesus says, will receive even more. He'll be given even more. Jesus calls us to see how we hear, to take care how we listen. We don't just hear the word of God once or twice or a few times. We have to keep hearing it. We have to diligently pay attention to God's word. And then we have to go and practice it. We have to do what Jesus says in his word. We have to follow Jesus. Jesus says we have to hold fast to him and to his word. We have to keep our eyes on the light of his word. And we have to go where he goes. Jesus says that as we do this, he will promise to give us even more, more blessings, more knowledge of him, and more assurance in our hearts that we belong to him. He'll continue to shine the light of his word into our hearts and into our lives, pushing out the darkness of our sin. Brothers and sisters, Jesus came and he lit the lamp of the light of his word. And He has shown that lamb into the world. He's shown it on us. And He's continuing to shine it into the hearts of men as His word is preached. Don't neglect it. Come back. Receive more. Grow in your love for Jesus and in your knowledge of Him and His word. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we thank You that You are the light of the world, and we pray that You would keep our eyes fixed on You and on Your light and on the light which You shine through Your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.